new year and new competition season, but the same USHJA podcast you love. Welcome back to On Course. I'm Teresa, and today I'm joined by the inaugural winner of one of the association's most popular programs. But first, here are your association updates. Expand your equestrian education this year with USHJA. Applications are now open for the MZ Farms USHJA Emerging Athletes Program through April 1st. This year we'll host 10 regional training sessions with top clinicians across the country, and all 12 zones offer grants to participate. The Horsemanship Quiz Challenge is also now open. Register, prepare with free study materials, and take 2 online quizzes by September 1st. As the show season continues to get underway, be sure to enroll and apply for all your favorite USHJA programs. Simply sign in to your USHJA member account, select the blue My Programs button, and click the Enroll button next to the program you wish to join. Now for our guest. Carly Anthony is the inaugural USHJA Emerging Athletes Program winner, topping the Nationals back in 2009. Now an accomplished professional in the world of show jumping, Carly gives back to the sport in a variety of ways, including as an active member of the EAP committee. Taking her advocacy for good horsemanship to the next level, this year, Carly will serve as a regional training session clinician. Tune in as we discuss her experience as an EAP participant, how it shaped her riding career, and why she just can't get enough of the program. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
So the idea for this podcast specifically came up because we're celebrating our 20th anniversary, looking back on the beginnings of some of our things. You won the Emerging Athletes Program the inaugural year back in 2009. Do you remember what the program was like back then?
It was similar to what it is today. I would say the level has changed a little bit. It used to be offered at a meter 10, a meter 20, and I believe a meter 30. And now it's offered to lower levels and open to all ages. I think at the beginning, there was also an age limit or restrictions. But similar structure, you'd have clinicians going around the country to different EAP clinics. And then you would have to be selected by those clinicians to move on to, there was another tier, I believe, in order to get to the finals. And then once you got to the finals, which were hosted in Nevada, I think the structure was very similar, do a Nations Cup team situation format. It was a lot of fun. Well, I can remember.
It's definitely evolved. Right now, the time that you're there for the regionals and for the nationals is longer. I believe the nationals was only 3 days.
Yes.
So do you remember anything from your experience that week? Like, you kind of just did a great job covering of what the program was overall. But those 3 days at nationals, what do you remember from that time?
I hate saying this, but that was a very long time ago.
It was.
But the general memory I have of it, it was 3 very intense days, and intense in a way that you learned an incredible amount because you were 24/7 hands-on with your horse, with the professionals that were involved at the time, and just absorbing as much information as you possibly could. We were all on different horses that were donated, so that was an additional element of fun and learning that we got to experience when we were there. And I'd say for me, the key takeaway, which I think is also a primary focus for the program now, is the connections you made in that whole process. It was quite a privilege to be a part of those finals and learn all that I could from it. And also in the end of the day, meet all of those professionals.
Do you have a key takeaway or moment that you still remember or maybe utilize in your approach to riding today?
I think the key takeaway, because I've been on the EAP committee now since I won that award, and I have the honor and privilege of being a clinician this year for one of the EAP sessions. I think the key takeaway from that whole experience, especially in the finals, is networking. The sport is all about networking, taking every advantage and opportunity that you can to introduce yourself to people. You know, the EAP is for people because it's no longer just kids. It's for people that don't have the ability, whether it's because of their location or their economical background to maybe meet some of their heroes. And it gives them an opportunity to do that. Even if the clinician that you're meeting isn't the end person of who you'd like to meet, that person might know your dream rider mm-hmm. and can put you in contact with them. So for me, the key takeaway from that whole experience was definitely networking, because ultimately winning the finals is kind of what jump-started my professional career after I graduated from the University of Georgia.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned still being involved. We'll talk about that a little more later too. But from going from being the inaugural winner, now you're on the committee, and now you're going to be a clinician. How have you seen the program evolve? Aside from the obvious adjusted heights and age limits and how long it is, but how else have you seen the program develop over the years?
Well, I'd say after I won it, you've had some incredible now professionals win it as well. Jacob Pope, Kathleen Driscoll, who just had an exceptional article in the World of Show Jumping, which mentioned the EAP and how that helped jumpstart her career as well. I'd say it's been great seeing those. I think that's what the EAP is about, mm-hmm. and giving people like us an opportunity to achieve at the highest level if that's our goal. But I think it's also what I've seen a lot as well more recently is educating as many people that are willing to be educated about being proper horsemen and professionals, but mostly how to be proper horsemen, which is getting harder and harder to come by these days. So for me, I think the evolution of the AP has been great. You have great professionals that come out of it, but the people that don't win, I think they leave those sessions or the finals having learned a lot into how to be the best horseman or woman that they can be, which in the end is ultimately what we're all about as horse people.
You mentioned great professionals that have come out of the program and some of our incredible winners. You yourself are definitely one of those. So looking at your journey since that win in 2009, what have been some of your most significant highlights and milestones in your career?
I would say there have been a lot. And for a lot of those milestones, I owe a lot of it to the EAP. My first job out of college was through the EAP. After I won in 2009, I took that opportunity to go and train with Eric Lamaze, who at the time had Hickstead. And I was a working student, if you will. I cleaned stalls, groomed, I did all the things for free. I didn't get paid. But just to be around that environment at the time was an experience of a lifetime. And after I graduated from university, I turned professional and I went to work for him full time and won my first international Grand Prix in Antwerp working for him. I was third in my first Saturday Night Light class here at WEF in a 4-star Grand Prix with a horse that I produced from 7 to 10 when I took him into that his first Grand Prix. I got to help try and show and ride Explosion with Ben Mayer. I got to work for him and Emily Moffitt, which was an incredible opportunity and experience. And I don't know. I mean, the list could go on. It could go on and on. I feel very privileged and honored to have had all the experiences that I've had. And it all started with the opportunity that I got from the EAP. So it's a snowball effect. You know, once you get the ball rolling, all the other things kind of seem to fall into place or open new doors and new opportunities. And it just started from one thing. And as the saying goes, one thing led to another. And now I have my own business. I've continued to enjoy producing horses to the highest level. I have two incredibly wonderful 5-star horses that I have the privilege and honor of riding with an incredible owner and team behind me and clients and sales horses. And I'm very proud of what I've created. But I owe that to all of the opportunities that were given to me prior to allow me to be what I am today.
Marks 20 years of USHJA. As we reflect on two decades of helping to shape the equestrian landscape, we invite you to join us on our journey through the past, into our present, and on to the future. Follow us on social media, explore our website, read our magazine, and check your email to keep up on all the festivities as we celebrate the association. Look for our exclusive 20th anniversary logo and enjoy monthly video shorts featuring member stories and captivating highlights from our storied past. Join us as we celebrate two decades of education, sport, and support from our fantastic membership. Together, we look forward to celebrating the exciting years ahead. Obviously, have mentioned that you're a member of the committee coming back to be a clinician. What is it about the program that keeps you involved? You've kind of had the unique story of you were the inaugural winner, but you're still in it and you're helping the program continue to grow and develop for the future use down the line. What about the program has kept you coming back?
There's a lot, actually, that keeps me excited about what the program is. I think so much has changed in our sport over the years. As I've said before, the amount of people that have what an old school person would call good horsemanship is definitely fading. And I think it's important for people to know all the ins and outs of taking care of a horse, riding a horse, being a part of the horse community, how to be good if people choose to be professionals later down the road, what that means. I think everyone has their own path, but I think it's really important to continue teaching people and sharing with people what that is. What is a good horseman? What is a good sportsman? All of those things, I think, will always be needed. And I think it's really good to support that and people that want to learn. I think nobody that signs up for the EAP doesn't want to learn. I think I've been to a few now recently, and every single one of those kids is there, motivated, hungry, eager to listen and take whatever they can away from those clinicians. So I'm passionate about it. If those kids want to learn, then everyone should be helping, teaching, spreading as much knowledge as possible. I'm lucky that they asked me to be a clinician this year. I'm really excited. But I think the more people that know how to be better horsemen, the better our sport will be.
Definitely. What are you looking forward to about being a clinician this year?
I'm looking forward, and this is going to sound cheesy, so bear with me, but I'm looking forward to learning myself. I've done one or two clinics in the past. I've learned a lot from those, how to be a better teacher. Everybody learns a different way. They hear things differently. It's been great to have feedback. So I'm excited to grow as a teacher. I think I could definitely be better in that regard. And it's now great. I can go and spread my knowledge with those people that are going to be at that clinic and also get feedback from them and learn different ways to get the same message across. Maybe I have to say it 10 different ways. I think that's what I'm looking forward to the most. And I really enjoy working with the group and just interacting and seeing what I can learn from them as well.
I think you'll have a cool perspective too, having been through it, having had the success, and then being able to circle back to it on the other side of things.
Yeah, it's full circle. It's been a lot of fun. Honestly, I've really enjoyed it and very grateful for Amy Center. She's allowed me to be a part of it and learn through this whole process. And all of the people on the committee have been awesome. So it's been a great program to be a part of.
What advice would you give to other young riders? Maybe they're starting riding, maybe they're at the EAP level, maybe they're beyond, who aspire to be in your shoes in the sport?
As I've been growing up and learning to adult and be a professional and run my own business and all the things, my advice is it doesn't matter really what you choose to do, but if you choose to do horses at whatever level, you just need discipline. I think the horses give us so much. They give us everything of who they are, whether you're trail riding, jumping a 5-star Grand Prix, it doesn't really matter. I think you owe it to your horse every day when you show up and ride it, to take care of it, whatever you do at whatever capacity with your horse is to have the discipline yourself to show up and give them the same amount of your focus and your time and your effort that they give to you. I see a lot of people, not just in horses, but it's become such a culture of instant gratification. And social media and everything makes everything seem just so easy to attain and achieve. And it's definitely not that way. The only way to get what you want, even if it's just to show up and have a good flat lesson or go in and win a class at any level, that's every day. Having discipline every day and giving everything you can at the same level as your horse. That would be my advice. And it's something that it's hard. Discipline's hard, and it's something that I struggle with. But that's what I try to work on. That's my mantra. Stay disciplined, no matter how freaking hard it is. And it's 99% hard, 1% easy, but it's only that 1% easy because of the 99% of the time that it was hard.
I like that outlook. Well, we always wrap up all of our interviews with something we call the victory gallop. So if you had to pick one, bay, gray, or chestnut?
Bay. Gray is too much poop stains and chestnut's too spicy.
The long approach oxer or the trot jump?
Gallop right down to the base. Slowing down is not what we need. Speed it up.
If you got to live a day in the life of another rider, who would you pick?
Steve Girdat.
What's the last thing you watched?
There were two. I'm a serial binge watcher of Heartland. That is my weakness. And my new favorite show is Love on the Spectrum. It puts you in such a great mood. It's always so positive. It's a great show. I'm obsessed. It's those two shows. No serious shows. That's not for me. I like light and fun and happy.
Yeah, it's relaxing time.
Exactly.
What are two things you can't get through a horse show without?
Need my chapstick and my Frenchie.
If you could only eat one food for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Coffee ice cream. Very unhealthy.
What is the most used app on your phone?
WhatsApp.
Describe your dream horse in three words.
Careful, happy, and healthy.
All good ones. And then finally, since we are celebrating 20 years of USHJA, what is your favorite USHJA memory?
Winning the AP. That's a pretty memorable one.
I would say so. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of USHJA On Course. Subscribe so you don't miss the next episode, and follow us on social to stay up to date on everything USHJA.